Repentance is essential for the person who calls themselves a Christian. One of the most evident elements of biblical salvation is repentance. Many today in Christian circles do not see the need to call for people to repent. Episode 23 will discuss why we as believers must have repentance in our lives each day and how it is essential to grow closer to Christ. Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Jesus Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me each week to help develop and grow your daily walk with Christ through biblical discussion, lessons, and teaching to help us to be a light to those we encounter in the world that we walk and live in. The absence of teaching repentance is not a new concept to our society. The warfare on this teaching began in America as early as the 1950s. Now, knowing this, if we truly follow the ironclad Christian characteristics, we must have a repentant heart. A believer unwilling to have repentance in their life will not fulfill the responsibility to let Christ increase and ourselves decreased. So the scriptural references for this podcast today will be from Luke 13, 1-5, Matthew 3, 1-2, Matthew 3, 7-8, Matthew 4:17, Matthew 9, 12-13, Mark 1, 14-15, Luke 15, 1-7, and 1 Corinthians 15-31. Yes, I know that is a lot of scriptural references, but I want to make sure that we take a really hard look into having repentance in our lives. So let us go ahead and get started. Let us first start with Luke chapter 13. Jesus is being questioned why some Galileans who were going to make a sacrifice, and when they were doing so, Pilate's men came and they slaughtered them. They were slaughtered while they were literally making the sacrifice, and there was questions being asked to Jesus about this. Questions being like what we might ask today. How many of you have ever thought, you've heard people ask you the questions, if God is so good, why does he let bad things happen? Well, this is basically what is taking place with Jesus here. They're asking him, why? Why would God allow the people making sacrifice to have something bad happen to them? So, to drill it down, the question was asked, how could people be killed in a bloodbath when they were doing something right? Luke 13, 1-3, Jesus starts to respond, and we see the beginning of this story, and I want to read it with you. There were present at the season some that told him of Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. Now, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. This had to be a very complex statement to hear from Jesus. I mean, they've just asked him about people being murdered by Pilate while they were making sacrifice. And Jesus comes back and says, you're going to have to repent or you're going to be just like them. That had to be very coarse. That had to be very harsh to hear. The crowd then asked him, well, how about the 18 people on whom this tower fell? These people were not worshiping God. They were just walking, and the tower fell and killed them. I love the way Jesus responds with a question and answers them in verses 4 through 5. He says, or those 18, upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? In other words, he was taking what approach a lot of Christians take today and saying, oh yeah, well they were probably just really bad sinners, and that's why the tower fell on them. God was mad at them. But Jesus continues and he says, I tell you, nay. In other words, no, that is not it. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus calls for repentance in both situations. In both instances, we see that Jesus is calling for the followers to repent. In Matthew chapter 3, we are first introduced to the first evangelist, John the Baptist. John is preaching in the wilderness in Judea. Matthew quotes John in chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew describes further how those John is preaching to respond in verse 6. And they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. This preaching and act of baptism was not popular among the religious leaders of the time, and we all know this. And for that, John calls them out. In verses 7 and 8, Matthew writes what John is doing here, and he says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. So, Christians, today, a lot of times we have groups of people or even those in our church, and we have to guard ourselves, of course, that we do not do this, that we have people who will say, well, obviously these people are worse sinners than I am. Or if there's something someone does as far as repentance goes, if they're willing to go down to the altar, wherever it may be, and they're willing to confess their sins before God, a lot of times people may sneer. And that creates maybe an anxiety, if I can use that word very loosely, among people in church, especially sinners, who come to church and they don't want to go to the altar because they're afraid of what others might think of them if they go and repent. John is clearly calling the religious leaders out, and he's telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you're worried about what these people have done, and they're making it right. You need to bring meat for repentance like they have done. So John clearly calls them out. That's something we need to be doing in our churches, in my opinion. And we can see from this example, it was not just a simple act of jumping into the water and being baptized. John is calling those who are going to follow Christ to repent of their sins. We have sin in our life and we must repent. Now, one might conclude from this that it's a critical element for salvation, and repentance would be necessary in the heart for salvation to take place. So think of it this way. If someone does not repent of their sins, why would they ever need a Savior? If we want to say salvation is there without any kind of repentance, then you wouldn't have need or necessity for a Savior. And that is the story that's being told to a lot of the world. Don't worry about what you've done wrong, just come to Christ. Well, of course, we want people to come to Christ, but at the same time, there's work involved, there's fruit that we need to bear. And part of that fruit that we need to bear is a repentant heart. We have to have repentance in our life. John the Baptist is not the only one who is preaching the ideas of repentance. Chapter 4, 17 states, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus now also is calling a perverse and a wicked generation to repent. To many of the listeners of this podcast, this would be definitive proof of the need for repentance. However, our mission is to take a deeper dive into God's Word, so let us continue. Jesus spells out what his mission was here on earth. Many examples of this exist biblically. However, repentance is an essential characteristic. Look at what he said. If we're going to look at what is being taught by the one we call Savior and God, we have to look at what he taught us. In Matthew 9, verses 12 and 13, Jesus said this, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, that they be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There it is, folks, straight out of the mouth of our Savior, that he is clearly telling us that he did not come for the righteous people, because clearly the Bible teaches us there are none righteous, but he came for those who are needing to repent and they need a cleansing power. Now here, I love the way that Jesus uses the analogy of sick people and a physician. To me, church has always been a place where sick people, sin-sick people, come to get better, much like a hospital. So therefore, the church is a hospital for sin-sick people. That's where you come to get cleansing. And the way that that takes place is, of course, through the teaching of the Word, through the Spirit's guidance, and from a repentant heart. Now, Jesus' words may sound like a confusing statement to a lot of people, but the Bible is clear that there is none righteous, no, not one. For Jesus to even think about joining forces with a group of righteous people would not be possible when we consider this biblical statement. The call for sinners to repent is the critical element here. Jesus came to call the sin-sick, as I stated before, to be treated for their disease and healed. And the medicine that will attack the sickness begins with a strong shot of repentance. Much like a steroid shot if you're sick. The book of Mark also gives us a glimpse of the story between John and Jesus. Mark 1, 14 and 15 states, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The mantle of the call of repentance is now being passed to the true torchbearer, Jesus Christ. Not saying John was a false one, by the way, but Jesus was the torchbearer. And this is now being passed from the one who is to be the pre-runner to the runner. The call is clear and the message of repentance is given to sinners, any of those who Jesus was preaching to. The call for repentance is also going to be passed from Jesus to his disciples. those now working in the ministry give us an example in Mark 6:12. It reads, "And they went out and preached that men should repent." The concept is that if we call ourselves Christians and follow Jesus as our Savior, it requires us to have a repentant heart. Anyone, hear me out, including myself, anyone who says they have no sin needs to repent. And if they say they have no sin today, they would be much like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Knowing the ministry of Jesus, the disciples, John the Baptist, we can see clearly that repentance is essential for all Christians. So, let us say that some think that, well, I'm not convinced. I don't really need to repent. There's no need for me to repent. I'm a pretty good person. I live a pretty good life. I've never really done anybody that wrong. Luke chapter 15 will guide us towards how our Heavenly Father and heaven feel about a repentant sinner. Because I want you to remember something. While we may think a lot of ourselves, we're just worm dust. I love the way that Isaiah wrote this when he said that we're a filthy rag. We're basically a menstrual cloth, if we can just be blunt about that. That we ourselves are not clean. And the Bible is clear that we all needed a Savior. That's the whole purpose of Jesus coming, as this was spelled out before in the beginning of this podcast. But Luke 15, 1 through 7 really, really draws this out. And here's how it reads. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him." So we first see here that the sinners are drawing near. If you have someone who's telling a doctor, let's just say, that has good medicine that will heal people, people are going to be attracted to that doctor. They're going to try to pull to that doctor to try to get the good medicine. And that's what's taking place here with Jesus and the sinners. They were about to hear the gospel directly from the Savior himself and his teachings. And I'll continue. "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now, let me pause here and say, welcome to modern day Christianity and the modern day American church especially. We love to accuse and not repent. We love to look down our noses at others. We love to look and chastise others when we don't want to repent in our heart. We ourselves need to be the first to lay out a heart full of repentance before we ever start to throw stones at anyone else. And I know there's other parables we could go into there, but I don't want to get too far off track. It'd be very easy. So let us continue. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost." This is a very powerful parable that Jesus is teaching here. They could relate at the time, we can relate now. Even if we put it in modern day terms, if you had 5 children and one wanders off, you will work frantically to find that one child, even though you have 4 others. And I love that Jesus even expands that to this possession of sheep, that if you had 100 sheep and just one of those, that's 1% of your inventory. 1% of your inventory becomes lost and wanders off. You don't just say, well, that's 1% loss, I guess we'll move on. You go out and you find that 1%. That 1% is essential. It is part of your responsibility. It is part of what makes the 100% whole. So you go out and look for it. And when you find it, you don't just grab it around the neck and tie a rope and drag it in. No, the example that Jesus gives us here is he says that that shepherd is going to take that one sheep and he's going to throw that sheep on his shoulders and bring it home. That's the way that the inventory becomes complete. That one sheep is now brought back into the fold. And not only that, but when he comes back, he doesn't scold the sheep. He's not beating the sheep down. He says, "Let me rejoice." He's excited, he's happy, and he even calls his neighbors and friends and says, "Hey, I found the one sheep I was looking for. Come on over and let's have a barbecue." That's what we would say in the South anyway. We can see that the one sheep found is worth rejoicing. My friends, we are the one sheep to which Jesus is speaking. In this world, without Christ, we are lost and alone. Anyone who goes through life, anyone who is living today and does not know Jesus, they're that lost sheep. But Jesus continues here and he says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." See, there is rejoicing that takes place in heaven when repentance happens. Even that one who's went astray, even that one who is lost. There may be 99 who are the good Sunday school boys and girls, but when that one comes back and repents, there are celebrations in heaven that I'm sure that we can't even imagine. And that is what Jesus is teaching a parable of there. But understand something here, that the person, the one that is lost, is one that is a sinner that needs repentance. Heaven celebrates when a sinner repents. So who are sinners? We are. The Bible is clear that we are all fallen short of the glory of God. Repentance does not stop when we accept Christ, but becomes part of our necessary exercise in our faith. A lot of people may think, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I don't need to repent. Jesus took away all my sins. Well, true, he was the sacrifice for every sin of mankind, and yes, the ladies, that includes you too, as a figure of speech. But understand here that we are still sinners, that we don't lay down this fleshly mantle until we lay down our life or Christ returns. So therefore, knowing that, repentance has to be part of the exercise routine that we take on every day. Just like if you want to build your body up full of strength and full of muscle or whatever it may be, you don't just go and do one exercise and walk away and say, yep, that'll cover it all. You actually go in and you will do multiple exercises to help yourself get strong in all areas. Repentance is part of that exercise routine to a Christian. It becomes necessary in our faith walk. So let me leave you this week with a quote from Paul. 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul said, I protest by your rejoining which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. In other words, what Paul is telling us here is I have to get up every day and I have to repent of my sins. I have to die out from Paul and be more like Christ. Remember, our goal in this life as we go through and we try to witness to others is we have to let ourselves decrease and we have to let Christ increase. We are the only Bible some people is reading. So therefore, if we're going to be effective in what we do, if we're going to fight the good fight of faith, we have to have repentance in our life as part of our routine and our faith walk. Please be sure to write a review of the podcast and join me next week where we will continue our study in God's Word. And may God richly bless you in the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this episode of Bear His Cross Podcast. You can always go to bearhiscross.com where you can subscribe to our email newsletter or find Bear His Cross on your favorite podcast provider. And once you do, please be sure to leave a review so others know what you think about this podcast.